Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Well, we've been going through the book of Hosea, and it's amazing how very right now this book is, written about 2,500, 2,600 years ago, and it's for right now. The word of the Lord, it is the word of the Lord. It's the more sure word which is written that God testified that he, by his Spirit, inspired Hosea to write these things for us. And like everything else, we're going to see that there are things here that apply to us more so than anybody who has ever looked at these words. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And when people turn away from the Lord, when people turn away from the pure, sound doctrine of the word, it is whoredom. It is spiritual adultery. It is whoredom. And God wanted Hosea to experience what it was like when God's people, who he was in covenant with, the people of Israel, had a covenant with God, how God felt when people break their covenant with him. He's a covenant-keeping God. God is a faithful God. And he is love. Not only does he love, but he is love. And so he told Hosea to take a wife of whoredoms. Because when people depart from the Lord, that is whoredom. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. Now Jezreel means God will sow. Call his name God will sow. What's God going to sow? Let's have a look. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, which will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. God will sow. All right, there's a law of reaping and sowing. There's consequences to sin. You can't plant beans and expect to harvest a corn crop. And the effects of the sins of the nation of Israel were going to cause the people of Israel to go into captivity. And that first child was named Jezreel, because God is going to do a little sowing here, too. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. All right, in this great battlefield of Armageddon over in Israel, Israel would be conquered. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. And Lo-Ruhamah means not to be pitied, not pitied. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Wow. Kind of rough on the once saved, always saved doctrine, isn't it? And I can't help but think about the last verses of Proverbs chapter 1. And we're close to this time now, brethren, of what it has in Proverbs chapter 1, starting at about verse 24, 25, 26, somewhere in there. These are strong words. The Lord God, starting in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, he says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. Boy, we see scorners, don't we? And fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Brethren, watch how people receive reproof. Such an important thing in this time. We're in a generation that is without reproof. You'll know his disciples by their love for one another. And part of that is giving and receiving reproof in a right way. His people will receive reproof as an excellent oil. They exercise righteous judgment. They can give it and receive it rightly. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Does the word of God go dry? Are you hearing good from God? If you have difficulty hearing him speak and quicken that word and make it come alive, this is one of the two great keys to really hearing the voice of God as we read his word. Proverbs 1:23, mark it down. Make a note of it. So important. God is saying to us, turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And will make known my words unto you. Oh, glory to God. It is so good when he makes that word come alive. When he gives us revelation, that revelation from God by his Spirit, as he quickens and makes known his words to us, and gives us that revelation, strengthens us to be able to stand in this evil day. It's what kept Paul going through all of the trials that he had. The revelation that he had is what kept Paul going. God goes on to say in Proverbs 1 and 24, because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. What more could he do? Brethren, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. He stretched out his hands. He couldn't do any more than what he's already done. And no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. Brethren, he didn't stretch out his hands like that to give us a license to sin. No. He did that so that we would know a love that's beyond understanding, and that he might give us the Holy Ghost so that we'd have the power to respond to that kind of love and stop sinning. But you have set at naught all of my counsel and would none of my reproof. Oh, brethren, how we respond to reproof is so important. Watch how people respond to reproof in this time. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. We're in fearful times, brethren. When your fear comes as desolation, and when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Wow. Brethren, that's a serious word. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Oh, brethren, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The fear of the Lord is learned. We can never get enough of the fear of the Lord, but we must choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. And therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way. Wow. And be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Oh, this prosperity gospel. Brethren, it's such a serious snare of the devil. The turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The goodness of God is meant to lead us to repentance. Look at the saints of God. You see them. They're being tribulated. Why? Because whom the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, if we will hear his voice, today, the door is still open, today, if you will hear his voice, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, even when the world, there's no safe place in the whole world, but whoso hearkeneth unto me, saith the Lord, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Brethren, if we've got the fear of the Lord right, it can keep us from all other fear. And there are such fearful things coming that men's hearts will fail for fear of what's coming on this earth. Turn it is reproof. We've got to learn to receive reproof as an excellent oil. Because the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is to convict us and reprove us of sin. And we don't want to make an excuse or a rationalization or a self-justification, because that says God is not judging right. And to call the righteous judge of all the universe an unrighteous judge, he's not going to put up with that. That's what turns sin from sin into iniquity. And it's the only thing that will keep anybody out of the kingdom of heaven, is making excuses, making rationalizations, making self-justifications instead of putting it under the blood. He wants to forgive us more than we want to be forgiven. We've got to learn to receive reproof as an excellent oil. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, all brethren. You see, we're Israel. We've been born again. But now, this is a word for right now, but I will have mercy on the house of Judah. We will soon see this nation of Israel become the nation of Judah. They will have a new flag that doesn't have the star of Chemosh or Remphan on it. Not a hex, evil star, six-pointed star. They won't have that on their flag anymore. No, the nation of Judah will have a seven-branched candlestand. Hallelujah. But the Lord says in verse 7 of Hosea 1, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Brethren, this is at the door. Any day now, we might see these four carpenters rise up and see this nation of Judah. When God removes the veil from their eyes, that they would look upon him whom they have pierced. We've all pierced him. Jesus Christ died for sinners, every one of us. Whether we're Jew or Gentile makes no difference. God hath from one blood made all flesh. So it makes no difference. We're all born sinners. But one of these days, he's going to remove that veil over their eyes, and it will become the nation of Judah. And he says, I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God. The only way we can be saved is by the Lord God, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. They'll be saved in the same way we are. Save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow. No, it's not going to be their military might that saves them. No, not their swords, not by battle or by horses or by horsemen. No, save them by the Lord their God, Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, when she weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived again and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo Ammi. Lo Ammi. Lo Ammi means not my people. Wow. Call him not my people. Then said God, call his name Lo Ammi, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Do y'all know the sign that God said, by this sign I will know that you're my people? and by this sign you will know that I am your God. Do you know that sign? In Ezekiel 31, verse 13, the Lord God says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel." This is all born-again people. That's what Israel means. Speak to born-again children of God. Speak also unto the children of Israel, my children, the born-again people. Speak unto them, saying, "Verily, my Sabbath," not the Pope's Sabbath, "verily, my Sabbath shall you keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify thee." And over in Ezekiel 20, verse 12, he says, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them." And Ezekiel 20, verse 20, "And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you." The Sabbath says who your God is. Do you sanctify the day that the Creator of heaven and earth said to sanctify? Or do you sanctify the day that the Pope or Muhammad said to sanctify? Or that the pagans, the sun god worshippers, sanctify? Which day do you sanctify? It's a sign of who your God is. "And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, saith the Lord God, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." Brethren, it's not a little deal. It is the sign between God and his people. It's amazing, isn't it? "Then said God," in Hosea chapter 1, verse 9, "Then said God, call his name Lo Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God." All right. His people are dispersed throughout the earth. And today we've got the Antichrist over all governments of this world. We've got the false prophet of the Antichrist, the Pope, over all the religions of the world. And they promote it as a religion of tolerance, where only one thing will not be tolerated. These people of God, real born-again Christians, who observe his commandments, who don't do away with his commandments, but by the Holy Ghost live holy according to his commandments, they're the ones that will not be tolerated. And these Jews, they will be considered not authentically human. And they're spread throughout the world, like salt and pepper throughout the whole earth. "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people." And what do the church people say to us if we want to keep the commandments today? If we regard the commandments of God, what do people say? "You're not a Christian. Why, you're a legalist." If we don't bow to the Pope, if we don't take the Pope's sign instead of the sign that God said, yeah, they're going to want to kill you. Jesus said the time is coming when they will not only cast you out of their churches, but they will think that they are serving God by killing you. John 16, verses 1 through 3. But he says here in Hosea, that in that place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel, the real born-again people, be gathered together. Hallelujah. The two sticks are going to come together. Hallelujah. And appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Oh, the Lord will sow. And the Lord has sown his people all over the world Glory to God. Chapter 2 of Hosea. Say ye to your brethren, Am I, and your sisters, Ruhamah. Okay. Now, Am I is a tribe or a nation, like a flock, a group of people. And Ruhamah, as you call, is someone that's loved, very compassionate, that I will have compassion. Okay, so say to your brethren, your fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, and to your sister, who is much loved, compassionate, plead with your mother. Plead. And it's right. We mourn. We mourn as we see this great apostasy taking two forms. The major part of the great apostasy is where people make a religion out of rationalizing why we should not keep the commandments of God. The commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ wrote with his finger in stone for Moses, and by his Holy Spirit writes on our circumcised heart. These people make a religion of why we should not pay any regard to the law of God, the royal law, the law of love, the law of life, the law of liberty. He says, plead with your mother. Plead with these people that are in these churches that have gone apostate. Plead with your mother. And it's adultery. Oh, they've turned away from God. It's spiritual fornication. It's whoredom, what they're doing with this religion of rationalizing away the law of God. What did Paul say? Romans 3:31. Do we by faith make void the law of God? Is that what we're doing? Is that the kind of faith we have? What does Paul say? God forbid! How could you ever be so reprobate as to think that? Yea, rather we establish the law. Plead with your mother. And it's right that we mourn for these people. And we plead with them, but plead with them to say, Jesus said you must be born again. And when they say, well, I have been born again, and take offense, say, well, you can be born again again. The Word of God is very clear on that, from cover to cover. It's a matter of repentance. And the fact that you've been born again only proves that once saved, always saved is a lie. And that's really the only thing we can tell them. Because we're not to reason with them. See, that's their religion. We plead with them. We plead with them. Jesus said you must be born again. Well, I have been born again. Well, the Word of God is very clear. You can be born again again. Plead with them. Plead with your mother. Plead. For she is not my wife. They're not God's people in this religion of rationalizing why they should not do what God said. That's not born again people that do that and have that kind of religion. That's whoredom. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife. Oh, they think they're saved. Oh, they got spirits in them, even religious spirits, that make them feel good. These spirits are going to make them think that they're serving God by killing us because we want to do what God said. Plead with your mother. Jesus said you must be born again. Oh, yes, you can be born again again. And the fact that you've been born again, and you're in the state you are now, that just proves once saved, always saved is a lie of the devil. Plead with him. Jesus said you must be born again. And you can be born again again. The Word of God is very clear on that. Cover to cover, if God will give you grace to repent, plead with your mother. Plead. Don't reason with him. Don't argue with him. They can't hear your arguments. Your arguments is their religion. For she is not my wife. They're not born again anymore. They need to be born again again. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as a day that she was born and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy on her children. For they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother played the harlot. Oh, that's what's so sad today. You ask an educator that really knows what's going on, what the real problem with education today is, and he'll tell you. The children do not have a conscience. It's not that their conscience got seared. They don't have a conscience. They were never taught the Torah. You know, God commands us to teach our children Torah. Because if they know the Torah, they won't receive a false gospel. They won't receive an idol instead of the real Lord Jesus Christ. They won't receive counterfeit spirits if they know the Torah. And teaching Torah gives children a conscience. And honest educators will tell you that that's the real problem in education today. The children don't have a conscience. For their mother played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, gain his godliness, prosperity gospel. Doing away with the law of God. I will go after my lovers. Oh, let's do it the way the Pope does, man. That's the Cadillac of religions. I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water. Yeah, the Pope has to approve the 501c3 deal. It's ruled by the Pope. Yeah, the Jesuits write those kind of IRS laws for 501c3 churches. Yes, they do, brethren. It's true. I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that shall not find her paths. She shall not find her paths, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. And then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Most people don't know it's Babylonian sun god worship in the things that they pick up and follow after the Pope. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. That's what the problem is today in 501c3 sun god pre-trib la-la land. They think they're rich and increased with goods. They bought the height of religious reprobation when they suppose that gain is godliness. God commands us, from such withdraw thyself. But the people have bought this prosperity gospel that gain is godliness. The goodness of God is meant to lead us to repentance. But the people have bought this. So God says he's going to take it away. Oh, brethren, it's so sad when you really see what's going on. And Hosea is really opening this up that we can see it. It's whoredom, these religions that they've formed, which have forgotten and done away with the law of God. And now, you see, all they're left with is a vain, powerless religion that will do them no good when all hell breaks loose on this earth. And now, God says in verse 10 of Hosea 2, and now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. And I will cause all her mirth to cease. There's not going to be any more feeling good. No, they're not going to feel good. No more partying. No more sun god day entertainment centers. It's not going to be entertainment anymore. It's going to cause all the entertainment to cease. Her feast days of Ishtar, Astarte, and Christmas, Tammuz, sun god feast days of Babylonian sun god worship of the Pope, her new moons and her Sabbaths and all her solemn feasts, Sabbaths of the Pope, not God's Sabbaths. Oh, man. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lover has given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. Oh, they've turned away from the Lord. They pay no attention to his word. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi. That's an interesting word. Hallelujah. It means the Lord, the champion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The worthy one. Hallelujah. The great one. Oh, it means a lot of good things. Hallelujah. Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali, no more Baal worship. For I will take away the names of Balaam with the Easter celebrations and the Christmas celebrations and the Sun God Day Sabbaths and the following of the Pope and all this Mary worship and saint worship and priestcraft. I want to take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creepy things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. This is talking about the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they will learn war no more. I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them, hallelujah, make them to lie down safely. Glory to God. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Hallelujah. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. Hallelujah. True righteousness that God gives us. And in judgment, righteous judgment. And in loving kindness and in mercies. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you long for that kingdom when the Lord Jesus Christ is reigning, when we can look upon him, see him face to face. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord when we can look upon him and know him even as we are known. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. When there was a firmament, we could probably hear the stars. They probably each have their own vibration. So this again is an indication of the millennial kingdom, when the seas will be no more, when he'll cause the elements to melt and the water from the seas will go up and again form the firmament, where we would be able to hear the heavens again. Hallelujah. And the earth shall hear the corn. Yes. With the firmament that may be possible. And the wine and the oil, the flowers, the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and they shall hear Jezreel. We will see then what God has sown. And right now, brethren, it's so wonderful that eye hath not seen, nor the mind of man considered what God is going to sow, how wonderful that kingdom is going to be. The mind of man cannot conceive it, Jezreel, what God is going to sow. And I will sow unto her, I will sow her unto me in the earth. He's going to be married to us. We're going to be his bride without spot or wrinkle. And I will sow her unto me in the earth. He won't remember those whoredoms. I will sow her unto me in the earth. And I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Oh, brethren, there's still people that haven't heard the gospel. We need to reach out. Be prepared for the harvest. Get as much word of God put in us that in this tribulation time of harvest, we can bring many who were not his people to be his people forever. That he would say of them, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Oh, it has been many days ever since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Really, ever since the Lord Jesus Christ died, because the veil was ripped from top to bottom then, in 30 AD. And anybody could look in and see there never was an Ark of the Covenant in the second temple, but praise God. Jeremiah had taken it from the first temple, keeping it away from Nebuchadnezzar, 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified right above it. And then as he was crucified, and as the centurion stuck the spear in his side, and that 3.5 pints of blood and water ran out, the earth split, opening up to receive the blood of the perfect Lamb of God. And it went down and sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which was located right underneath where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of God. And ever since then, they haven't had a king, no princes, no sacrifice. It's been a long time, many days. And afterward shall the children of Israel return. They're going to repent and return. Return to the land. They've been driven out of the land in 1948. They started coming back. 1967, they had Jerusalem back as their capital, just like God had said. For 1900 years, they were gone. And then just like God said, after many days, the children of Israel would return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days, brethren. This is for right now. This is telling us to wake up when you see this happen. Because when you see this happen, when you see Israel back in the land, when you see Israel with her capital of Jerusalem again, you better know you're in the latter days. God said so. Hosea 3:5. Chapter 4 of Hosea, Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Oh, yes, he does. Because there's no truth. You see, Yeshua is the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, not a truth. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy. See, mercy and truth are met together. In Yeshua, Yeshua is not allowed in the land. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Without Yeshua, how can anybody know God? You can't. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one way. It's Yeshua. So the Lord today has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. No Yeshua, no truth. No mercy. No mercy. No Yeshua, no mercy. Nor knowledge of God. No Yeshua, no real knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out. And blood touches blood all. Blood everywhere from these suicide bombers. Therefore shall the land mourn, and the land is mourning, brethren. We've been there. We can tell you all the heads are hung down. All the people are in a state of mourning. They talk on the secular radio broadcasts, and they say negotiations is the irrational solution. The only rational solution to these problems is Messiah. Oh, they're ready for the veil to be removed. Therefore shall the land mourn. All the land and the people of the land are mourning, brethren. And everyone that dwelleth there shall languish. Brethren, this is true. This is today. Everyone in that land languishes. With the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another. Brethren, the time for the striving is done. Don't strive with them anymore. Plead with them, yes, but don't strive with them. They can't hear your arguments. Don't strive with them, plead with them. Jesus said you must be born again, and you can be born again. Don't try and reprove them. They can't receive reproof. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Yes, see, we're priests. If we're truly born again, and we've got the real Holy Spirit, we keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ, we're still priests. We're going to see in just a second how they've been rejected from being priests, and why they've been rejected from being priests. But they look upon us, and they see that God hears our prayers. Oh, we're still priests. And then that demonic spirit of envy rises up in them, and they want to strive with us. You can tell them, you can ban them, and they still try to sneak in and strive. They still try and sneak in and strive because they know we're priests. They don't realize that they're not priests anymore. But you see, when they see our prayers are being answered, and they see that the power of God is there to answer our prayers, we're still priests. See, that's what a priest is. He prays to God. God hears his prayers. A priest that God doesn't hear his prayers isn't much of a priest, brethren. Yet let no man strive. Don't strive with him anymore. And it doesn't do any good to reprove him. You've all seen it. You've seen how they respond when you reprove them. They are without reproof. They've been rejected from being priests. For thy people are as they that strive with the priest, and that's what they do. Don't you see it? What a right now word. Therefore, shalt thou fall in a day. This is what we mourn about, because we see they're set up for this fall. They've got a vain, powerless religion. And when it finally dawns on them, it is probably going to be too late. Therefore, thou shalt fall in a day. And the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. Yeah, their mother church. The mother church of Rome and all the daughter whore churches are going to be destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Brethren, that's not all there is to Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Listen now, have ears to hear the rest of Hosea 4:6. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Wow, no wonder you never hear the rest of it. That's hard on once saved, always saved, isn't it? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. They're not priests anymore. He hath made them kings and priests when they were born again, and they need to be born again. I also will reject thee. See, they believe once saved, always saved. That's why they don't know their state. They don't know how poor and blind and wretched and naked they are. They've been rejected and they don't know it. All they've got is a vain, powerless religion that wants to strive with those who still are priests. Oh, brethren, don't argue with them. Don't strive with them. Plead with them. Tell them you must be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. And when they say they have been born again, say it only proves the lie of once saved, always saved. You can be born again. Listen to the rest of Hosea 4:6. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. You see, that's why they're no priests anymore. They have forgotten the law of thy God. Or they attack us as legalists because we haven't forgotten the law of God. And the word of God says the only people that's going into his kingdom are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. It's both. I mean, if you're saved, you're supposed to live saved. How do you live saved? Well, you keep the commandments, the ones that Jesus wrote with his finger in stone and his Holy Ghost writes on our heart. 10 instructions for how to love God, 6 how to love your neighbor in reality and truth. See, they have been rejected. Thou shalt be a priest to me no more. Their prayers don't get answered. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children. Their children are not taught Torah. Their children don't have a conscience. Oh, it's sad. Listen to all of Hosea 4:6. I pray God give you ears to hear all of Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That's all of Hosea 4:6. You see why you only hear the first part of it? Oh, people need to hear all of Hosea 4:6. If you've only got one verse to give these people that are caught up in that great apostasy, Hosea 4:6, the whole thing, is probably as good as anything to give them. Make sure you concentrate on the second part of it and not the first part, because the first part is all they know. They've never heard the second part. And they were increased. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. And therefore, will I change their glory into shame. Oh, they're glorying right now in their Sun God Day entertainment centers. But when this thing breaks loose, they're going to realize how deceived they were. They're going to realize all they've got is a vain, powerless religion. They're going to realize at that time God doesn't hear their prayers. No, the prosperity that they have enjoyed didn't really come from God. No, gain is godliness is the height of religious reprobation. It's a lie. The kindness of God is meant to lead us to repentance. As they were increased, so they sinned against me, and therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priest. It's going to be the same for all of them. Right now, they've got this hierarchy set up in their churches. They work witchcraft and priestcraft, but it's going to be the same for all of them. And there shall be like people, like priest, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. Spiritual whoredom is what it is. Spiritual whoredom in their vain, powerless religion of rationalizing why we shouldn't do what God commanded us to do. Or by the same token, thinking that they're so good that by their observance of rituals and laws and rabbinic religious stuff that they're justified. No, we're justified by the grace of God through faith in what God did for us. This vain, powerless works righteousness that other people are going into in apostasy today. It's going to be the same thing. They shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for that whoredom, that spiritual religious whoredom, and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and not to His Holy Spirit, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. They never read His word. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils instead of taking heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declares to them. They're not going to understand what's going on until their feet are in stocks, until they're beaten with staffs, until this breaks loose. Then they might think, well, maybe something's wrong with my religion. Yeah, something bad wrong with your whoredom. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to error. That's what it is. The spirit of whoredom, religious whoredom, has caused them to err, and they've gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains. They burn incense upon the hills under the oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good, and Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. And therefore the people that doeth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth Aven, nor swear, the Lord liveth, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. So many people have been born again. Yeah, they're not lying when they said they were born again. But these wolves, these false teachers, these false prophets have given them doctrines of devils, tickled their ears, told them what they wanted to hear instead of the word of God. And they're backslidden, and they don't even know they're backslidden. For Israel, all those 98% of the born-again people have slidden back as a backsliding heifer. And now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Ephraim is us. This is a Gentile church. We're Ephraim. Ephraim is joined to idols. Yes, and that's what it is, idolatry. Oh, it's rampant in these Sun God Day entertainment centers. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. You can't change him, brethren. Oh, you might plead with him. Jesus said, be born again, but let him alone. I mean, this is the word of the Lord. Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. Put it in the basket. God will bless you. You got to put your seed faith money in. Raw, raw, raw. Fill up the baskets. Oh, it's so sad, this continual whoredom. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and she shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. And that's the end of Hosea chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.